Hello, guys.
Bumpy.
Welcome, welcome. Excuse me. This is the truth about sales. I love it when I show up on the call and you guys are chatting and getting to know each other and whatnot. I think that's awesome. And like all things, the more you are connected, the more people are in your sphere, the more connections you have, the more resources you have, that's all good. So the more you connect with each other, the easier this is. And if you haven't already done that, then please feel free. You can do this on Facebook. Just, I'm happy to be the hub. So go to Facebook, get on my page, the Joel Rico page, Truth About Sales page, whatever, and post up a little comment to find yourself a role play partner. By the way, there's one on there right now, a woman named Yolanda. I think she's in Seattle, who is, I think she has one open space for role play partners to practice this work. Again, you've heard me say this many times. I'm going to keep saying it. It's just like you know, you can watch all the Kung Fu, you can watch all the Bruce Lee movies you want. That doesn't make you Bruce Lee. So in order to be a ninja, in order to be a rock star, you need to practice. So set up a practice partner. And we're just now, actually just today, getting to the place where we're starting to take on some tools for you to practice. What have we done in the past couple of weeks? So this is week number 3. So just a quick refresher. The first week, we did some setup, we did some admin, we talked a bit about rapport, and mostly what we did the first week was we did the 360 review, which is basically it's a clearing exercise. So what does that mean? Well, a clearing exercise, the 360 review, is an exercise an exercise for you to better see you. It's an exercise for you to better understand yourself, and it's an exercise such that you get to better understand how you show up for other people. So just a little quick frame so you guys get this. The reason why I added that exercise to this curriculum, I've been doing this for 10 or 15 years, and I just added that exercise just, I don't know, a few months ago. The reason why I added that exercise is there was somebody in this class, and he'd taken the class a couple of times and practiced and got good and learned the techniques, and like the thing that we're going to be doing today, he learned them all. And he was smooth and quick and had them all, you know, at his fingertips. Yet his results still weren't very good. And he came to me and said, "What's the problem? Why, you know, I've learned all these, I've learned all those, I know all these things. Why am I not getting sales?" And it turned out that just the way in which he was speaking to people, the way in which he was engaging with people, was kind of aggressive and kind of bossy and kind of pushy, yet it was invisible to him. So that exercise, he got real feedback from real people in his life who said, I don't like the way you push me around. I don't like the way you cut me off. I don't like the way you do this. And that was the exercise that turned the tables for him. So that's why now this curriculum starts with that exercise, hopefully to clear the field, to clear the palate, such that as we start layering on new tools and giving you new techniques, that you're using these tools and techniques from a healthy place. All right, so that was week 1, the clearing exercise. And then week 2, last week, we did 2 things last week. Number 1, we got a little deeper into the rapport game, and I left you with an exercise. And that exercise was to mirror and match the rate of speech of everybody you speak to. So if they talk really, really fast and you talk really, really fast with them because this is what makes them comfortable, so get into their world and talk where they're comfortable, this is okay, right? Whatever's natural for them. And then slow down. If they speak slowly, then you speak slowly with them. All right, so that was the rapport game. We also did the rapport destroying game to a stranger just one time, just for 10 or 15 seconds. Do the opposite to somebody and see what happens. Feel what it feels like to be in rapport and out of rapport. And then, after we set up the rapport game, last week we also took on eliciting values, asking those questions to find out what's important to your client. What are the value systems through which your client makes decisions? It's much, much more powerful to know how they think than what they think. What they think is only one answer. How they think will give you all the answers. So we did a little bit of values elicitation and a little bit of the decision-making criteria. So before we jump into some new stuff today, let's do a little check-in. How were those exercises for you? What did you get out of mirroring and matching rate of speech? What happened? What did you get out of doing the rapport destroying exercise? What did that feel like? And lastly, were you able to practice any of the values elicitation or decision-making criteria? What did you get from that? So who has something cool that came out of this exercise that you'd like to share? Star 6 on your phone will pull you into the queue with me. And remember, star 6 on your phone and then state your name so everybody else knows who you are, and hopefully we'll get some referrals flying through here. So questions, comments?
Hello, Joe.
Breakthroughs, what did you get? Yes?
This is Jimmy. How are you?
Hi, Jimmy. A little tiny bit louder, please.
Okay, so here's my situation. So I have a couple of conversations with people, and totally I forgot to mirror them, and I got stuck.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I catch myself right away. I said, whoa, this is what I just learned last week. I need to practice this on them, and then it changes the whole picture completely.
So what changed completely?
Well, they were able to respond to the question I was asking them. Because of course I was out of sync with them. I forgot that I have to practice this on the client. And one thing I learned is to catch myself, I have to think about this all the time. If not, it doesn't come natural.
Well, in the beginning, it's going to be conscious. You have to remind yourself to do it. And like everything else, eventually, it'll become a habit. Do you need today, Jimmy, today, do you need to remind yourself how to tie your shoes? Cross them over this way, make a loop, take it around, pull it through, pull them tight? No, now you just do it so quick, you don't even notice it, just done. So this is the same thing. This is not natural for you yet. And the more you practice it, the more quickly it'll become a habit. And before you know it, this will just be normal for you. That's just a tool of practice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And so I love what Jimmy said. He said, we were out of sync, and I was not paying attention, and I wasn't thinking about this. Then I realized, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be practicing this week. So then I got in rapport, and it changed everything. All of a sudden, they started responding to my questions. How did he do that? He got in rapport, which gives the client the signal that we're connected. I'm safe. I'm part of your tribe. I'm speaking your language. The client no longer feels like they need to protect themselves. And they no longer are thinking, who are you? What's going on? Are you trying to trick me? All that goes away. And the client authentically will engage in the conversation because they're no longer attempting to protect themselves. Bravo, Jimmy. Great job. Keep practicing. It'll be a habit soon enough. Anybody else? Anything out of the rapport game? Did anybody take on doing the rapport destroying game? Anybody have one of those? So this one, the rapport destroying game, your ego does not want you to do this. Let me say that again. Your ego does not want you to do the rapport destroying game because it'll make you look silly. It'll make you feel foolish. It might embarrass you. It will definitely be out of your comfort zone. Your ego does not want you to do this, which is why if you did not do this exercise this week, then this is why you need to simply make yourself a note. Do it right now. Just scribble a post-it note and stick it up on the wall near your phone. And just write rapport, destroy rapport 15 seconds. That'll be enough to remind you. Your ego does not want you to do this. And yet, the payoff that you'll get from doing this exercise will, I promise, will pay huge dividends. Remember, the goal is empowering your subconscious to learn how to create rapport at will, and then teaching your subconscious what it feels like to be in rapport or out of rapport. The rapport destroying exercise gives you a little test drive of what it feels like to be out of rapport. And the sooner you can notice this, the earlier you understand, uh-oh, I'm falling out of rapport, uh-oh, this isn't what I want, the sooner you notice that, the easier it is to fix it. Also, the rapport destroying game will also empower you how quick and easy it is to fix it. You know, you can be in a really messed up place and just turn it around in a few seconds. So if you did not do the rapport destroying game this week, write yourself a note so you do remember to take it on this week. All right, anybody else? What did you get from playing from asking the value elicitation questions? Who did you ask? What did you get? Right? Ask your favorite zillionaire. What's important to you about making all this money? Ask your kids. What's important to you about going to the game this weekend? What's important to you about pulling good grades? You're doing awfully a good job on your homework. You seem to be awfully driven. What's important to you about good grades? And what will that do for you? So who ran somebody through these exercises? What did you get? Let's hear it, guys. Remember, the more you participate in here, the more you get. So let's play full out. This is the time to get out of your comfort zone.
Hey, Joel, this is Douglas.
Hello, Douglas.
Well, I did everything. I did the rapport game, and then I did the,
of course
I
you did.
The opposite. I did the opposite of, and it was really funny. And sometimes I was doing it accidentally, and I would catch myself doing it, what made me realize it, what I was doing was the...
And what were you doing? Which part was accidental?
Doing the opposite. You know, I would get excited.
Well, hold on a second. Doing the opposite. Oh, I see. You just got excited and ran all over the customer and destroyed the rapport because you were not paying attention.
I wasn't being patient enough to let them finish their sentences.
Good. What happened?
And so they would stop and wonder that, you know, and it would break the train. We were in a dance. We were in a flow together, and I broke the flow.
Yep. Yes, you did. Very good.
I went back this morning with the intention of having a conversation with them and just get everything they say to me. And
nice.
As they got what I was saying, they started to reveal more and more and more and then acknowledged what a good job I was doing for them.
Outstanding.
And it made me realize...
So look at that. Even after the fact, even after he messed it all up and didn't even get it until the next day, he still was able to go back and fix it. Bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo, Doug. So, Douglas, while I have you here, what about did you do the values elicitation with anybody? Like, what's important to you about? Did you try that with somebody?
And one client that I have right now, they live in a neighborhood where it's dominated by people that specialize in this neighborhood. And they told me they could have chose anyone, but they chose me. because they thought I was just different. And what I did was I just listened to everything they said. And at the end of the conversation, I said, well, I'm listening. And she looks at me and goes, I know you are.
Yeah.
And so what she was telling me with that was that's all gone. And she
remember, everybody. Doug, by the way, just so you know, your phone is skipping in and out. We're missing some words. I think I got it all, but just so you know, you're in a sketchy phone area. So, just so you know, everybody else, I'm going to say this over and over and over and over and over. The number one complaint against salespeople in all industries, cars, houses, everything, the number one complaint about salespeople is they didn't listen. Number one. Most salespeople are so busy trying to ram it down your throat. Let me tell you how great it is. You should buy two, and oh, mine's better. You should work with me because I'm special. Where salespeople are so busy beating people over the head with, let me tell you, let me convince you, they fail to listen. And you will find, as you go through this curriculum, you will find that the client will always give you the solution on how to solve it. They'll always give you the solution on how to close it. And most of us aren't listening. So ask more questions. Listen more and talk less. All right. Anybody else? Anything you want to share before we move on and do something new? Okay, perfect. I want to open today's call or this session by saying, excuse me, I have something in my throat. I'll do my best not to cough on you. So I'd like to start this lesson today, really, by saying, I cannot promise you that learning this material throughout this curriculum, the next, whatever it is, 10 weeks, I cannot promise you that learning this material is going to be easy nor automatic. Yet I can promise you that when you commit to this training and commit to doing the practice, you will have a breakthrough in your ability to communicate with people and in your ability to inspire people to want to work with you and in how you show up in all of your relationships. So this will happen, and it's simply a matter of some practice. You are now learning an entirely new model of communication. So we're going to start today with that new model by exploring the perspective of meaning and understanding, or I should more accurately say meaning and misunderstanding. So that happens all the time. So we're going to take on what things mean, and we're also going to do a quick level on the rapport game. So let's do that first. When I say the word meaning, what does something mean? Consider that meaning comes from our interpretation. So I think the example I used a week or two ago was, I think I used the term, the structure beauty, beautiful. What's beautiful? Well, that comes down to how we interpret it. So most of us think beauty, maybe you think of a beautiful woman or a Ferrari, an Italian sports car, we think of beauty. But what about like a piece of music from Beethoven? Is that beautiful? Well, yeah, but it doesn't look like anything. It sounds beautiful. Or maybe it makes me feel a certain way. So all of us have what we call a primary representation system. That means that all of us, all human beings, we interpret reality through our five senses: sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell. Now, taste and smell are really personal, and they don't transcribe very well. Like, I can't tell you, like, the flavor of this tea thing that I'm drinking this morning. I can tell you, well, it's kind of like this or it's kind of like that, but until you try it, you don't get it. So taste and smell are not really the way most people interpret their reality. Sight, sound, and touch, sight, sound, and feel, is the way. So now everybody uses all of these senses. I know all of you have the ability to see, to hear, to feel, even to taste and smell. However, everybody has a dominant. Everybody has a go-to primary. So the goal here is to find out, and the three big ones are either we're primarily visual, we're primarily auditory, what we hear, or we're primarily kinesthetic, how we feel. So the goal here, and everybody's a little bit of everything, yet everybody also has a primary. So the goal here is to find out your client's primary as another step on building a deeper rapport with the client. Just know that when we speak from inside the client's primary representational system, the client feels heard and understood. When we speak outside the client's primary representational system, they feel misunderstood, not heard, and or not honored. So for example, well, let's do the three steps really quick. If your client is highly visual, they are a visual processor, they will say things like, "Do you see what I mean?" Now let that sink in for a moment. You and I are talking, and this is what I'm talking about, blah, blah, blah. And I go, "Well, do you see what I mean?" I mean, technically, isn't it, do you hear what I mean? Do you understand what I mean? A visual processor will say, "Do you see what I mean? Can you see what I'm saying?" That's clear as a bell. Wow, you really appear to be upset. A visual processor will give you clues that they're processing things visually. Now, what if you are primarily auditory? You would say things like, "I hear you loud and clear. Yeah, that's like music to my ears. I got it. Listen to me. You sound upset." And if your client is visual, can you see what I'm saying? And you're auditory and you say, "Yes, I hear you loud and clear." Do you see that's a, can you feel that's a mismatch? Client says, "Do you see what I'm saying?" And you say, "Yes, loud and clear, I hear you. Stop raising your voice." Even though you're saying yes in predominantly a different language. All right, so that's visual and auditory. The next one is kinesthetic. A person who's highly kinesthetic will say things like, "Yeah, I feel you. That feels good. Let's just get in touch with what we need to do first. Wow, this new real estate contract is really a pain in the neck. When I started, it was 2 pages. Now it's 12. Wow, you know what? You feel a little upset today. Wow, you feel really excited. I can feel it." That's the way a kinesthetic person will process. Notice we're all processing the same thing. They just process them from a different representational system. So this is called VAK style, visual, audio, kinesthetic. There's one more that the thought leader people have added into the mix, and they call that auditory digital. That's one that doesn't really fit into the other three. Auditory digital is self-talk. If you don't see it, hear it, feel it, if you're just thinking it, that would be auditory digital. Auditory digital is, make up your mind. You know, I like this. I don't like that. You know, think about this. You know, I think this. I think that. You know, decide what's best for you. All those don't really fit into the see or hear or feel. Those fit into the think mode. So one of these four systems is going to be the primary way in which your client interprets their reality. They're going to see the house and say, "Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. Look at this, look at that, look at that." Or they're going to walk in and say, "Oh, it's so quiet here. Look at that, this is great. We can't hear the road. Oh, this sounds so peaceful." Mm-hmm. Or they're going to walk in and say, "Oh, this kitchen feels amazing. Can you? Oh my goodness, it feels like I'm in a sanctuary." Or if they're audio digital, they might say, "I think this is going to be a good investment. We're going to crunch the numbers, and I think if we move the money here, yeah, we can do this. So if we decide on this today," right? All thinking. So the goal is find out the primary for your client. And as best you can, roll some of these tools into that conversation so you're more and more connected with them in their primary. Okay, any questions about that? Remember, nobody is all one thing. The goal is to find out how they primarily represent their reality and use as much of their language as they can. If they're highly visual, then know that they're highly visual, then you deliver to them with a bunch of visual cues. Okay? Thoughts, questions, ahas,
hey, Joe,
anything about that?
How are you?
Hello, Jimmy.
So how do we start the process of asking those questions to be able to find out if they're visual, audio, or kinesthetic?
Yeah, you don't really have to ask them anything in particular. Just listen. As you're in a conversation with them, they'll say things like, I'm so excited about this. This is going to be so fun. I feel so giddy about what's happening. Feel that person's kinesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you'll say, tell me, you know, remember last week, what's important about. So tell me what's important about, you know, buying a house, you know, moving into the city or buying a house in the country. What's important to you about getting that big house on the hill? They'll say, if they're visual, for example, they might say, you know, my whole life I've driven by there, and every time I look up on the hill, I see these beautiful houses. Every time I look up this hill and I see these beautiful houses, I just envision myself living in one of these beautiful homes up on the hill where I have a view of the whole valley. Right? They're just, as people speak, they'll give you clues. Your job is just, I'm just giving you a new filter through which to listen.
Okay.
Helpful?
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Anybody else? My dashboard tells me there's a whole lot of people here, and we have Doug and Jimmy asking questions. Anybody else? Questions, thoughts, comments, ahas, anything? Going once, going twice? All right. So that's our, by the way, pretty much every week, or maybe every week, I'm going to give you another layer for the rapport game. Last week's rate of speech, how fast or slow they talk. This week, it's you listening for VAK style. Next week, it'll be something different. So every week, the rapport game is going to get another chapter. So for this week, which is why you have to keep up and do the exercises before you know it, these are going to start to get complex, and I want you to have this foundation. So every week, take this on, and every week you'll get a new one. All right. So that was our rapport game for the week. Now let's take on our language construct for the week, which is this week, our language construct is meaning and misunderstanding. Or I'm sorry, meaning and understanding, which oftentimes results in misunderstanding. So what does it mean when somebody says, I don't know, I want you to cut the commission? I'd like you to cut your commission. What do they mean by that? Any suggestions? What do you think somebody, now what do they really mean when they say, will you cut your commission? Anybody have a vote? A suggestion? What do you think your client really means? Say again?
What I can, from my experience, they probably think I know what the value of their commission I'm charging them.
Okay, so there's one really popular answer. The client thinks that I might not be worth that value. Good, thanks, Jimmy. Anybody else? What else could it mean when the client says, will you cut your commission? What else might they mean? Will you cut your commission? Can I get it cheaper? What kind of a discount can I have? The other guy said they do it for less. What do they mean?
Joel?
What do you think they're... Yes.
They're trying to determine how much they're going to net.
Yeah, they're trying to calculate, huh, what's my net? And if I get a discount and I save a point from the broker, then, you know, I get an extra point of profit, of proceeds in my net profit check, right? So that's another very popular position. So look at that. Already we have two separate meanings for will you cut the commission. The first one was, I don't think the broker's got enough value for me to pay them that. And the second one was, well, if I skimp a little bit from you, I get a little bigger check when we're done. Very good. Anybody else? What else could this mean? Hey, will you cut your commission? What else could this mean? Anybody else have a vote? What do you think they really mean? Say again?
What I can think of is maybe they interview a couple of agents and they're willing to call their commission. And they ask the same question.
So maybe they've done three or four interviews, or two or three or five or whatever, and the commissions are all over the board. 5, 4, 4.5. I heard some company in town is promoting 3.5% commissions. They're giving up 2.5 and keeping a point. And you walk in at 6, and that doesn't compute. And they like you, but, you know, 6, really? Would you be willing to reduce your commission? So maybe it doesn't make sense that you're all different, and I'd like you, but I'd like you to be at the same price as those other guys. Good. Right now we have 3 different meanings for will you cut your commission. Anybody else? Like, we could play this game for quite a while.
I have one.
Please.
Sometimes.
Who's that, by the way?
Oh, this is Lanita DeVore from Washington, D.C. And
hello. Welcome.
Sometimes. Thank you. Sometimes they think they're supposed to ask. They really don't care, but Cousin Joanne said ask. So they do.
Exactly. Maybe they were told, hey, it doesn't hurt to ask, right? I mean, what's the harm? They could say yes or no. Maybe you'll get a free point. Ask. Of course, it's your job to ask. It's your duty to ask. Of course you should ask, right? That's our 4th meaning. So let me give you a few more. Maybe they're from a culture that negotiates everything, and it's just habit. That could be. Maybe it's a test to see how you handle adversity and objections, right? They're about to hand over their most valuable asset and put it in your care. They want to see who they're dealing with, maybe. So here's the real question. When the client says, will you cut your commission, what do they really mean? And the right answer is, I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what they really mean. It could be any one of those or something different. Yet herein lies the problem. When the client says, will you cut your commission? Jimmy hears, they don't think I'm worth it. Douglas thinks they're just trying to boost their net. Ms. DeVore's thinks, well, they have a friend in the business who told them they should ask. I don't know which one they really mean. Each of you have your own interpretation of what it really means. And here's the problem. If the client thinks, well, I was just told to ask because, you know, I'm putting you in charge of my real estate portfolio, my largest asset, I want to see who I'm dealing with before I sell my $1 million house to you. So I want to see who I'm dealing with. So I'm going to ask because it's a test. And you hear, that's what the client means. Yet you hear, they don't think I'm worth it, perhaps. Then what do? Then you respond from your own meaning. Now, the client means something different. They have a different interpretation than you, yet you respond from your meaning, right? We all do this. So instead of answering the client's real question, you start answering your meaning. And herein lies where the misunderstandings come in. Because even though they're related, I start answering from my definition. So what do we do about that? Well, you're in luck. Our topic today is a very easy, very smooth tool called the level shift. So again, I'm going to read this two sentences. The most challenging part about, it says objections, it should say, the most challenging part about any communication is the meaning attached to that. So the level shift is going to allow us to both clarify and or attach a new meaning to the objection to the conversation. Now, if nothing else, this is going to generate some clarity, some alignment, some agreement, and it's going to generate a more effective meaning to help move the client forward. So remember, the level shift can be used to change, shift, or redirect the conversation. And the key here is to elevate the conversation up, elevate up to the actual issue that needs to be handled. So what does that mean? Let's just stay with the same example. Client says, hey, will you cut the commission? What's the actual thing that needs to be handled here? Is the actual issue the commission? No. What's the actual issue that needs to be handled? Maybe. I mean, it might be trust. Maybe. It might be net profit. Maybe. So what we're going to do is we're going to authenticate the client, and we're going to level shift this conversation up into a mutually agreed upon meaning. For example, the client says, well, it appears that you're making $80,000 in commission, so I'm going to ask for a commission reduction. So we're going to respond by, now I don't know which meaning the client has, other than they said it looks like you're making a lot of money. So maybe that's greed. Maybe they think you're making too much money. I don't know. So we're going to level shift that up in some place where we can agree. So at least we have a common point to talk about. So I might say, yeah, you're right. This times that turns out to be almost $80,000. I got the math. And what appears most important to you is that you get the highest possible net profit when the escrow closes. Does that make sense? And they go, yeah, of course that makes sense. Okay, so now here's my question for you. What is a more empowering conversation to have with your clients? Talking about commission or talking about net profits? Talking about net profits, much more empowering conversation to have. So notice, they were talking about commission and we level shifted it up. Now listen to these level shifts. What appears most important to you is a higher net profit. Or it sounds to me like you want to make sure that you get the highest net profit. Or what I hear you saying is that you're doing everything in your power to protect your net profit. Or I'm sensing that your goal is to increase your net profit. Did you also notice, if you look at these level shifts, that what appears, level shift number one, what appears most important, that's very visual, isn't it? Level shift number two, it sounds to me like, that's pretty auditory, isn't it? Number three, what I hear you saying, very auditory. Number four, I'm sensing that you want to protect your net profit, very kinesthetic. Number five, I think the real issue here is how high up can we drive your net profit? Again, the real issue here is auditory digital. So notice, I'm also going to deliver the level shift in harmony with the client's VA style. Now, it doesn't make any difference what the objection is. It doesn't even have to be an objection. Any position that the client has, my goal is to identify their VA case style and then level shift the conversation up into a topic that's more empowering, more digestible, more solvable, at least one that puts us on the same page. One more example, then we'll role play some of these out. Let's say, for example, the client, let's say, for example, Jimmy was right. And Jimmy's perspective was the client thinks I'm not worth it. So they want a discount because they think I'm new. They're willing to take a risk with me, a new broker, but they want to, if they're going to take a risk with me, they want a discount. So Jimmy's interpretation was the client thinks I might not be worth my value. So that might be Jimmy's interpretation. Now the client's interpretation, let's say he's true. Let's say it's true. Let's say maybe Jimmy got it right. That is the client's meaning as well. And so whether Jimmy and the client have the same meaning or not, by using any one of these level shifts, saying, great, so I think the real question here is, how much money can we get for you when the escrow closes? The client's going to go, yeah, of course, it's about my money. Now, what's important here is even if they had a different meaning, we're restating a meaning up front such that you and the client have an agreement on what is our meaning before you solve the problem. Right? Jimmy could have said, well, it sounds to me like you're uncertain with my ability. Can I share with you some of the other houses I've sold? Right now he's talking about ability. Or he could say, yeah, I totally get your request. And I'm sensing the most important thing here is, can we get your home sold, and can we get it sold for top dollar? Now, see, what I'm doing is I'm making sure that we are in alignment on a meaning before I give them a response, before I say, here's what we're going to do about that. The goal here is to get us on the same page before attempting to solve anything. Questions, comments, aha's, anything.
Hello?
Hello?
Joe, I have a question.
Joel?
Please. Hold on a second. I heard Jimmy first, and then I think it's Doug.
Okay, so I want to bring this up regarding for sale by owner.
Yes.
So I make the call, the guy asks me, are you willing to take 30% commission?
Say again, are you willing to take?
30% commission.
3% commission, okay.
Yeah. So then I can respond to him by saying, the real issue is you want to save. Okay, first of all, I want to ask you, will it be a right response to, you know, to his objection? So the real issue is you want to save 30%. You would rather pay me. Is that correct?
Well, maybe. So if he says, hey, will you take a 3% commission? So hopefully you've been talking to him for a minute, and you've been able to determine if he's mostly visual, mostly auditory, mostly kinesthetic, whatever. And let's say that he's very passionate and very upset and very, you can feel all this emotion. Let's determine that means he's kinesthetic.
Okay.
And he says, hey, well, you know, will you take a 3% commission? So now I have a kinesthetic FSBO bringing up commission. So I want to have a kinesthetic level shift, and I want a level shift from commission to net profit. Maybe. Or maybe you're going to level shift from discounted commission, you're going to level shift up to whether or not the house sells at all. What are you going to level shift it to? You follow me? So let's say the seller, the FSBO, says, sure, I'm open to work with you. Are you willing to take a 3% commission? I might say, he's kinesthetic. I might say, sure, I feel I can get the home sold for 3% commission. I think the real issue here, though, is what are we going to pay the other agent? Or I think the real question here is, if you're only using one agent, instead of letting me leverage every agent in the board, how much lower price is the house going to sell? It feels to me, yeah, I'm happy to take 3%. I usually get 3%. That's my normal fee. And what I feel like you're doing your best to protect your house by shorting a commission. You might be shorting all the buyers who aren't going to come see it too. Can I tell you how that's going to work? Right? So my whole goal here is just to find a place where we're in agreement and then use this point of agreement to leverage the conversation into a topic that's more win-win. Will you cut your commission? Yes, no. That's not really a win-win structure. Is that helpful, Jimmy?
Yeah, so what I hear you saying is we have So what I hear you saying is we have to elevate the conversation to the issue that it's really talking about.
That's right.
Is that correct? I mean, correct
yeah.
me if I'm wrong.
So I want to level shift the conversation to something that's easier for us to solve.
So
right, your child comes home after curfew, and you say you're late, and they go, yeah, I know, it's only 15 minutes. And you say, yeah, I know it's only 15 minutes. Yet the real issue is that you continue to not be your word. So I don't want to argue about 15 minutes because 15 minutes isn't important. What is important is you continue to break your promises. So I want to level shift the conversation into something more important and at least something that we're in agreement on. So the way a lot of arguments and misunderstandings happen is the client's talking about, in this case, the child is talking about 15 minutes, 15 minutes isn't important, and why are you so stressed out about 15 minutes? Because they're attached. Their meaning is 15 minutes is insignificant. Your meaning is you did or didn't keep your word. You promised and you didn't show up. This is the fifth time you've promised and not shown up. So your meaning is integrity and our relationship. Their meaning is 15 minutes. This is why the conversation, the problem doesn't get solved. You're arguing about two different things. So what this tool is going to do is say, yeah, I totally understand that it's only 15 minutes. I got it. And what I feel is a bigger issue here is you continue to break the rules, and I'm worried about your safety. Do you feel the power of this tool is to leverage into a more important topic and, at minimum, a topic that at least we know we're both talking about the same topic. So they're not arguing 15 minutes, but you're arguing about keeping your word. Does that make sense, Jimmy?
Yeah, it does make sense, and I think the value of this conversation that I can sense is the VAK, the visual, the audio, and the kinesthetic.
Well, I think the VAK style helps this technique work much, much better. It helps this technique be very quickly to be absorbed. Even without VAK style, this technique still works. With VAK style, it works like 100%.
Okay, good.
But the real key here is before I respond, before I yell and get upset and talk about you being late and what's going on, it's 15 minutes and it's your curfew, and before I get deep into that conversation, I want to level shift away from the 15 minutes and towards keeping your agreements, being in integrity, being in your word. I want to make sure that we're talking about the same thing. Awesome. And then Douglas, I think you had a question, a comment, something.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay. My conversation about this has shifted after listening to how you were talking with Jimmy. And this is such an amazing tool, Joel, and it's so simple. But what I see it doing is it breaks down resistance.
Yeah.
No, and just
well,
and
we're
just,
gonna get. I think it's next week where we do agreement frames, and agreement and agreement frames are next week. So the combination of that and this together, the goal really is resistance-free selling. Right. I don't like to argue. I like to solve.
It's amazing, Joel. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Doug. Anybody else? Thoughts, questions, comments, anything? All right, we just got a few minutes. I'm going to rip through these examples really quick. My request is that you follow along, raise your hand, ask questions, make up some new examples, throw them at me. Let's role play live, whatever. However I can be the biggest help for you. So the first example we did 50 times already. Let's go to the second one. Let's say, for example, the client says, you know, I just don't feel like making this big decision tonight. I don't like to make these snap decisions. Notice, I just don't feel like kinesthetic. So I might respond by saying, yes, I know it's a big decision, and I'm sensing that you still have some uncertainty about something. I'm curious, what specifically are you not 100% comfortable? So what did I just do? I just level shifted from hesitation to finding out their concerns. Notice I'm not trying to close them. I didn't make them wrong. I said, yeah, I know. It's a big deal. I feel like you might not be totally comfortable with something. What's the thing that you're not totally comfortable with? I want to level shift them from their issue into something solvable. I don't feel like making a decision tonight. Not very solvable. What is solvable? I'm curious. What are you worried about? Example number two. I can't change. I can't join your team. I like my broker. My broker and I are friends. Right? I can't. Audio digital. A response to that might be something like, that's great that you guys are friends. And does this mean that you're not open to even look at any other business model? You're not open to even consider, that would be better, consider another business model? Now, I just level shifted from resistance to open-mindedness. You know, before we make any decisions, we'd really like to see a few other realtors, and like we'd like to look at their marketing plans, right? Visual. A response to that might be something like, well, naturally you want to see a plan that'll get your home sold. What are you hoping to see that we didn't cover tonight? Notice I'm level shifting from the competition to getting their criteria to move forward. So I don't want to make them wrong. I want to, as quickly as possible, get in alignment with their communication style, in this case, VAK style. And then after getting in alignment with their style, I want to say, well, of course you feel that way. And what are you hoping to see that we didn't cover? Right? I want to keep eliciting from them until we get a solution. All right, last example. This is self-talk. You talking to yourself, me talking to myself. Real example, 25 years ago, almost verbatim, that my father used to get me to go to college because I was out. I said, look, I don't want to go to college. You kidding me? The program's impacted. I've been studying, getting straight A's since I was 5. And by the time I get out of college, I'll be 25 by the time I get out of college. And my dad said, yeah, I know, school can be challenging. The real question is, would you rather be 25 and working for minimum wage or 25 with a high-paying career that you love? And I was like, whoa, I want that 25. Yeah. So what did he do? He level shifted me from my struggles to looking at my future. In fact, what he actually said is, I promise you the time will come that you turn 25. The real question is, do you want this version of 25 or that version of 25? I want that version of 25. All right, the last one is self-talk. you talking to yourself, me talking to myself, whatever. Many of us say things like, I don't need lead generation today. I have a buyer. The reason I do is to get a buyer, and today I have a buyer, so I don't need lead gen. That's the way most of us talk, many of us. A potential response to that, as you're speaking to yourself, you might say, self, yes, I do have a buyer. And what that really means is my lead generation is working. Since I'm starting to build momentum, I'd like to capitalize on this and book more appointments, even if they're for next week. So what am I doing? Talking to myself, shifting from having an appointment to being committed to my business. What happens here? Realize that we get to apply our own meaning to how things are, especially when you're the only one in the conversation. I already have a buyer. What does that mean? Well, you can make it mean I don't need the lead gen today, or you can make it mean what I'm doing is working. Good. Go get five more. Good. Go. We get to apply the meaning, and that's what a level shift does, is it level shifts the client's meaning up to a higher order meaning and a meaning that at least is defined and understood by us both. All right, we just got a couple of minutes left. Questions, comments, ahas. Anything. Wow, there's a giant, I'm looking at this giant list of people, and only Douglas and Jimmy ask questions today. Anybody else? Questions, comments, anything? Don't let Doug and Jimmy steal the show. Yes?
This is Jimmy again, sorry.
Hey, Jimmy. That's okay.
So, what would you like us to prepare for next week, or what would be your recommendation for us to be able to excel in this practice, this level shifting that you just taught us today?
Yeah. So the perfect practice for this. By the way, I recommend that you right now time block on your schedule about 15 or 20 minutes every day in the morning. And that you literally write sentences. And I recommend for these that you write about 10 of them per day. So that's going to sound like this. So write down 10 things that people are going to say. I want to cut the commission. I want to think about it. I don't want to list it yet. I'm going to list it myself. Whatever, write down 10 things. And then answer those. And if you can't think of 10, write down 2 things 5 times. If you think of 5, write down 5 things 2 times, whatever. And then answer those and say, yes, I can appreciate that. And I think the real issue is, are you going to make more money now or in 2 months from now? Yes, I understand. And what I'm sensing is that you're excited about moving. Yes, I get it. And I think the real issue, do you know what the market's going to be like in 6 months? I think the real issue is whatever. Right, and just the goal here is for you to start building up these muscles. The goal here is for you to start building up this as a habit. So you start to get in alignment with people, elevate the conversation to something where we're both on the same page before you try to solve the problem. Great question, Jimmy. Great question. And I like to call this the adult program. So, you know, you get to practice as much as you want or as little as you want. I can tell you with great certainty, I have people that come through this training that listen to most of the calls and do little to no homework. And at the end, they go, yeah, class was good. I learned some good stuff. And I have people that come through the class that are on every call and they do all the home play exercises, maybe even double the home play exercises, and they have colossal breakthroughs in their ability to close. That's up to you. I recommend that you kick butt and do awesome. So, all right, my clock says that we are straight up 12 o'clock on the money, on the button. Next week we start agreement frames. I would implore you, please, pretty please, stay current in this class. You can see already, each week builds on the last week, and we're going to keep putting layers on. Please stay current. If you fall behind, it's tough to get caught up. So please stay current. And that's it. We have a whole new thing next week. I'm super excited about what we're up to. And as usual, go make a difference in the world and help as many people as you can. All right, everybody. Be well. Talk to you next week. Thank you for being here.
790.
Right on.
4484.
All right. See you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Is anybody here?